Chase and Big Joe opening night in Smashville, and of course a TV theme Thursday. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Big Joe has stepped away for some meetings with MTSU as they have their game tonight. So the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, has been kind enough to come hang out with me at Bell House. Happy opening day, Pete.
It's always a great feeling. I can't wait for times like this to get going, and I'm still thinking about the very first ever.
I know, 1998.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers,
yes,
right?
Yeah, Florida Panthers. Kirk McLean ends up with a shutout, and then, three nights later, October 13th, the first win, defeating Carolina.
And the first goal by Andrew Brunette.
Yes.
Yeah, so all that history. We're excited, for you. I know you made an announcement a few weeks ago that you're not stepping away. You're just...
Well, I'm stepping away from some road games.
Yeah, from some road games. You're going to do a couple of trips, obviously Buffalo, L.A., where you have a lot of ties, and I think Chicago is one of them as well. But so Max Herz will step into the play-by-play booth on those games. But, even when you're not on the road, you're going to be a part of the broadcast.
Yep.
And we're excited because I think you may have a tag team partner on some of those segments that you're going
to
be doing.
And I'm putting something together and it was a feature we ran a number of years ago, but on the Detroit rivalry to play for Saturday's pregame.
Yeah, that'll be very cool to hear that. But, you've been here since day one. Does this opening night, with all the anticipation, all the moves that were made this offseason, feel different from the other ones, or is it just, another one?
No, it's not just another one. And if I, at this stage of my career, would ever consider that, I should just plain step aside totally.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. We have the butterflies still going.
Do you allow yourself to, you've obviously called a Stanley Cup final now, that happened a few years ago. But do you still kind of have the 10-year-old boy dream of the Nashville Predators have won the Stanley Cup?
You better believe I do.
Of having that call?
You better believe I do. Absolutely.
And I mean, you look at this team, it's a tough division. It's a tough league. We all know that. We've read all the prognosticators and, the Central Division. And, is Colorado still good? Dallas, who the Preds are playing tonight. We know Dallas is really, really good, but why not? Why not Nashville?
Okay, and if Dallas should win, perish the thought, 9-2 tonight, that's going to be a great season.
Oh, yeah.
Because after that 9-2 loss last year, they just took off from there.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's like you get it. See, I always use the analogy when something like that happens of you get punched in the mouth and you go and you look at yourself in the mirror and you see the blood and like swollen lip, and it's like you don't like seeing that, and so you get a little of that ticked off for greatness, and then as we saw last year, things really took off. The difference this year, though, is Andrew Brunette, Barry Trotz used the phrase serial winners with Ryan O'Reilly, and Ryan McDonough was here last year, and some of the others.
Gus Nyquist,
Luke Shen, that they brought in. Well, now they've added a few more, and Jonathan Marchessault, and obviously this guy named Stamkos.
Yes.
Steven Stamkos is pretty good. Brady Shea. You've added them to the mix. Roman Josi was on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
I haven't heard Roman that excited in a long time to have these guys here. I think adding them to the fold is just even better than, just having a good team.
Not just 40 goal scorers, but cup winners.
Yeah.
That's the frosting on top of it.
Right. I mean, they both have won the cup, and, I'm excited to see Shea alongside Roman.
Yes. Yes, and this is Shea spelled S-K-J-E-I.
Yeah.
Because in the past we saw another Shea.
Yes.
Near Roman.
Yes, we did. It's funny, and, of course, people have referenced the Saturday Night Live skit that Brady was a part of when he was with the New York Rangers.
Yep.
Which is certainly a good one. do you have any kind of special routine for opening night? I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of people here that I'm sure you want to see, or do you try and treat it like a normal game?
I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could try, but I can't. And let me see. I've got this appearance. I've got another one at 12:15 this afternoon. Somehow or another, I'm going to find a way to get in my recliner for about a half an hour, though.
Yeah.
This afternoon and just plain pass out.
Have a nap.
Yeah.
Get a nap in. you know, one of my favorite parts about getting to work with Pete Weber is I refer to her as your agent, but your wife, Claudia, is always alongside. And so I'm hoping to run into her tonight. But
she will be here.
How special is that, that in your career, you know, you've gotten to have her along alongside?
Been very important. And we closed one building in Buffalo, the old auditorium where we met. And then we opened up what is now the KeyBank Center. And that was, and we found out right away that the rippling effect of the glass down sideline made it difficult for our seats to see the game. So we quickly changed them after one game.
Chase McKay, Pete Weber here with you. All right, so how many buildings have you called an NHL game in now?
It will be 66 after our April trip into Salt Lake.
Yeah, because you did want to do that. We talk about the road. You wanted to do that one so you could knock that off the list.
And I was very—I was entranced watching their game the other night on ESPN. That looked fantastic to me, actually.
Am I right in saying that was last year your first year going to Seattle?
No, 2 years before.
2 years, okay.
Yep.
Because I know
Seattle had been part of my resume with the Seattle SuperSonics.
Yeah. So you had been in that building or the old iteration.
It certainly didn't look like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that when you were with the Lakers?
Actually, when I was with the Sonics.
You were with the Sonics.
And it was the longest walk in the NBA from the locker room out to the actual court. And they've cut that down with all the renovations they've done.
I know with that town, I'd love to see the NBA back in Seattle. I just think they need it.
They need it. They thirst for it. And they want it back badly. And I hope they come back with the same name.
Yeah, me too. They deserve that. And look, they have shown that, you know, obviously we see how they support the Seahawks, but they've supported the Kraken very, very well. The Sounders, the MLS team.
That was the first team that was in the kingdom, the Seattle Sounders.
Oh, really?
So there would be 50-plus thousand people there for soccer. And then the Mariners with my buddy Jim Mailer at first base, who was not as effective but as big as the current Yankee slugger.
Yeah. What do you think about the baseball playoffs right now?
I'm glad that things are going along so well for Francisco Lindor and the Mets.
Yeah.
And I want to see what happens. I'll be honest. I want to see Shohei Ohtani.
I know. But I feel like the Padres got something. Watching that series against Atlanta.
They got something against a certain Fox commentator.
Yeah. I watched them, obviously, in that series against Atlanta, and Atlanta was beat up and depleted and all of that. But that lineup, to me, is just scary.
Yes.
And, you know, you put them against the Dodgers, which are equally as scary. I know Freddie Freeman was a late scratch last night, but, you know, Mookie and Shohei and, you know, they got other guys.
Mookie wants to come back for Preds and Pins.
I know. We need to get Mookie back for Preds and Pins. That would be, and he's a ringer.
Yes, he is.
But
a very
awesome.
Good one.
Yes, for sure. But I feel like it could be fun if it's the Padres and the Yankees. You get Padres, Yankees, and which would be is that a rematch of 98?
98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that could be fun.
So there you have
those lineups.
Just before the Predators got started.
You're right. Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it is.
Like 26 years ago.
Yeah.
That started. I you'll like this. So I was going through stuff at my mom's and found the puck that they handed out from the inaugural game. She went.
Yeah.
I was like 10 years old, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm going to this hockey game." I'm like, "What's that?"
And boy, do you know now.
Now do I know. We all have learned for sure. He's the voice of the Predators, Pete Weber, hanging out with me. We'll do another segment with him. If you've got any questions for Pete, 615-737-1025. Plus, I might put you to work, get you to come up with a trivia question. We're going to give away some tickets.
Okay.
Maybe a Preds trivia question. Yep. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe.
Exciting.
Actually, it's Chase and Pete Weber right now, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be at Kitchen Notes tomorrow. Pete hanging out on opening day. I know you got to go to morning skate here in just a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the thing on everybody's mind, obviously the excitement of opening day, but we'll see with UC Soros.
Yes. We will see with UC.
Yes, we will see with UC what happens there. I know he's, I don't think it's anything major that he's been dealing with.
No.
But, you know, just.
So with the emergency recall yesterday of Matthew Murray from Milwaukee to, if necessary, back up Scott Wedgwood tonight.
Yeah. Scott Wedgwood, I watched him, you know, in the preseason, and, you know, he played a lot of the last game. Like what I see. I mean, he's a solid backup, obviously, with Kevin Lankinen and moving on. They needed to fill that role.
That was a shocking thing to me, how long it took for Kevin to get a deal. I know.
And finally, Vancouver?
Right.
Is that right? Yeah, right. I mean, because Kevin did a fine job the last 2 years here.
In a very thankless role.
Yeah.
Play all the tough road games.
Right, yeah. Right. And I mean, you know they're going to play Saros as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somebody we haven't brought up yet that I know you have to be excited that's back in the organization is Mitch Korn.
Yep. Absolutely.
You've known Mitch for a long time.
Go back to our Buffalo days together when he was coaching some guy named Hashik, who did all right. But then we had a reunion during the rookie showcase out at Fordyce Bellevue. The man who discovered Mitch was there scouting, and he finally hoisted the Stanley Cup this last June, scouting now for the Florida Panthers. Rick Dudley.
Okay.
Dudley was the head coach of the Sabres. And Mitch was running his multifaceted goaltender camp around the country. It was his Buffalo stop. And Mitch was doing this presentation upstairs in Saberland. And, folks, I don't want to say it was a rundown rink, but it was. And in the darkness was Rick Dudley in the back. And he was just transfixed by Mitch's presentation and offered him a job with the organization. That brought Mitch from the college ranks into the NHL.
So how did Mitch end up here with Barry Trotz and that first coaching staff?
That first coaching staff, it was, I think you'd have to say, the imprimatur of Dominic Hasek.
Okay.
That made him desirable.
Yeah.
And the show, so, and Barry Trotz had his get-togethers with John Tortorella, who he lost to in the Calder Cup Finals in 96, and I think Torts was probably a spokesman on behalf of Mitch, too.
But you think about those early days
and
how many great goaltenders have come through here.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying it would change history, but Mitch, having Mitch and having the veteran presence that Mitch brought, I think was huge for the early days of this franchise.
I can't argue with you there. I think it was very, very important without any question.
Yeah.
He is the guru. He is the guy who helped then the Washington Capitals win the Stanley Cup, and then went on to the New York Islanders and solidified their goaltending situation. And I know that Lou Lamoriello, the major domo at Long Island now, didn't like losing him.
Sure. But, you know, I've heard Pecorine say it. I've heard, hey, we know that guy.
Yes.
We've seen, is he a new intern?
I think so. Just going
David
downstairs
Poyle.
To work, yeah.
The retired David Poyle coming into work. You know, like you look at Ben Vanderklok and the, you know,
who was
what
another,
all he learned.
Another Mitch.
Yeah, a Mitch disciple.
Yep.
And now, like, when they announced Mitch coming back, I'm like, oh, I mean, well, what does that mean for Benny? And Benny's, like, the most excited person, you know, to have him here. And Pekka, obviously, now coaching. And so – Chris Mason, I guess, coming out of retirement for a couple of practices, you know, to jump back in.
Chris is always trying to get ready. But Chris played a critical role, excuse me, in another goaltending problem in the early years down in Florida, where Chris Mason popped his groin stepping on the ice for the pregame warm-up. And all of a sudden, Brian Finley had to go in and be the goaltender that night against the Panthers. What happened then? Jamie Allison, defenseman, who I think had last played goal when he was 5 or 6 years of age, had to put on Chris Mason's stuff and sit on the bench as the backup as Florida counted up 7 goals that night. And on TV, we kept showing close-ups of Jamie Allison's face, grimacing and obviously in pain, wondering, am I going to get thrown into this mess?
Did he ever go in?
He did not, and Barry Trotz says to this day that's one of his biggest regrets.
Yeah.
He's a National Hockey League coach, so he didn't get Jamie Allison in there.
Brian Finley. There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
First-round pick. Yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't work out.
Nope.
Well, you know,
and that was the only game he played for the Predators.
I know.
He then went on to the Bruins and their organization for a while, but that was it for the Preds.
Yeah, but, you know, those early days, Thomas Vokoun, Chris Mason, obviously Mike Dunham, you know,
yep,
before that. And then I will never forget, it was probably 2005, some guy named, nobody could say his name right, Pecorino.
Yep. Well, we always used to tell the other broadcasters, think of that song, the Macarena.
Yeah.
Oh, Pecorino. Yeah.
Did you ever think, though, you see this 6'5", 6'6", lanky, skinny Finnish guy and think, okay, well, he's going to end up having the career that he had?
Anybody who said that, ask them to pick out your Powerball numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's what you got to do. I thought, and here, you were out at Fordyce Bellevue when we had a 6'10 goaltender in.
Yes.
And that was awesome to see, too.
Right.
The fact that he could move quickly enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, but I it's funny. Whenever, like, I remember having the Askarov discussion.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's ready. It's like, well, no, I don't think he is. I mean, no. I think maturity is a part of it, too.
He's ready for the San Jose Barracuda.
Right. And you look at Pecorino was a what we like to call a late bloomer,
mm-hmm,
but he ended up having a, you know, borderline, very close to Hall of Fame career.
Yes.
You know, maybe.
No one was a later bloomer, though, of all the goaltenders I've worked with than Hasek.
Yeah.
I think he was 27 when he got his
right
shot.
Right. And, I mean, I think it worked out for him.
Yeah, I'd have to say so.
The Dominator. All right, Pete, I kind of put you on the spot. Do you have a trivia question for some tickets? Is that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Who was Terry Crisp's first NHL coaching job with, head coaching job?
Okay. All right.
We'll go with that one.
Crispy, first head coaching job, 615-737-1025. You have to tell Dr. Crane the answer to that question, and you, the first person to get it right, will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators in the Seattle Kraken on Tuesday, October 15th here at Bridgestone Arena. We're going to give away a pair of tickets every hour for that, and you got to call and tell Dr. Crane, 615-737.
Frazier Crane?
1025. Yeah, Nick Frazier. We have two Nicks. So we have Nick Kieser, we have Nick Frazier, and we started calling Nick Frazier Dr. Crane.
Hello, this is Dr. Frazier Crane. I'm listening.
There you go.
Glad to hear you are.
Thank you.
we talked about Seattle. You know,
yes.
There you go. Boston, Seattle. And
oh, man.
Where's the new show? The new show's based somewhere else now.
Yeah, I didn't see that yet. So, speaking of new shows, last night, Claudia and I watched at least one part of the documentary on the WWF head.
Oh, Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon.
It's a good documentary, but, like, you're going to walk away from that going,
wincing.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you're one episode in?
One episode
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah. You're just getting
and
started.
And then I had to hit the hay.
You were just getting started, but it's fascinating. You talk about a fall from grace.
I think probably knowing that the number one wrestling fan in Middle Tennessee, I believe to be Tammy Beauclair.
Really?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
No question, yes.
Okay, I need to talk some wrestling with Tammy
yes
sometime. Crispy likes wrestling, right?
Oh, yeah.
Being, you know.
Well, he liked, I mean, and obviously Hulk Hogan is a big part of that first episode.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan's daughter used to sing the national anthem at Lightning games.
Oh, Brooke?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because they lived in the Tampa area. I know one time I was talking to him about it, and he's a fan of the Hitman, Bret Hart.
Yes.
So
Calgary guy.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Pete, appreciate you coming and hanging out.
Thanks
enjoy
for the
tonight.
Invitation.
We'll
yeah
be obviously listening here on 102.5 The Game, but it's going to be fun.
And I hope that all the people that made it difficult for Max here on the post game on Saturday are willing to be nice to him again.
Oh, I think they will be. That is for sure. He's the voice of the Predators since day one. Pete Weber joining us here on the program. He's off to morning skate. We'll give you an update from that and much more. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.